God bless you this morning, beloved, in the wonderful name, of course, of Jesus. Why is it a wonderful name? Amen. Because it's the title of the life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, when I really began to understand who he is, what he is, you know, Paul said, I can do all things. I've learned the secret to be content in all situations. I found that I can do all things through Christ, which... He didn't say who, he said which. Now some of the new versions will say who, because which doesn't make sense. Why would Paul refer to Christ as a thing rather than a person? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because Paul understood that Christ is a substance. He's a life. Jesus referred to himself as the way, the truth. He's the truth. He's not just a person, he's the truth. He's the life. He's the way. I can do all things through the life that quickens me. Praise God. Amen. The wonderful name of the life is Jesus. It's the name of the life. I remember the more I began to understand it, when I would worship in church, instead of worshiping a person far away, or even a person in the building, I began to worship the life of God that gives us strength and righteousness and peace. And oh my goodness, it makes such a difference to understand what he is, who he is, and to worship him in spirit and in truth, to really understand what he is. If you try to worship Jesus as a religious figure or as someone you want to invite into your heart so you can get to heaven, then you're not really worshiping him in truth. You don't understand the truth, the cross. The Holy Spirit came to lead you into all the truth. When you worship the life of God, Jesus Christ, understanding that you died, why you had to die, the fact that he was merciful enough to you to take you to the cross and put you to death once and for all so that you could have his life. You could make it into the kingdom of God by believing in his life. You start to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. Many worshiped him in spirit all through the old covenant, but they didn't really fully understand the truth. So Jesus tells the woman at the well, she said, where are we supposed to worship God? In your temple or on this mountain? In Jerusalem or here on this mountain? You guys say Jerusalem, my father's this mountain. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. The time is coming and now is that the true worshipers of God will worship him neither in Jerusalem nor on this mountain, but they will worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth had come. The truth is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And so when we worship him, we must worship him through the revelation of the truth, the revelation of the cross, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us about who he is and what he is. Jesus said, the Spirit will come and he will make known what belongs to me, to you. He will lead you into all of the truth. And that is where our worship must come from. God began to show me, this is kind of heavy. I don't talk about it much, even though I talk about a lot of heavy things. But God began to show me how Adam's worship is corrupt and he doesn't receive it. And you can find that many places in the Old Covenant as you read the prophets' scriptures. It is unclean. It is impure. Adam's worship is not holy. It's not pure. It's not received and accepted by God, even though it helps Adam to some extent, you know, be a better Adam. So it's not like God comes down and rebukes him every time he's worshiping. But when the truth comes out, Adam's worship is corrupt, just like everything else that he does. When I began to understand that, man, that was heavy duty for me. I was like, oh my God, I love, and even I didn't know it was natural, but I love worship. You know, I love the feeling, I love the chills, I love the vision, I love everything that happens when you just give all your energy to worship God. I mean, I love that. And when I began to find out, you know, that my life was involved in that, you know, oh my goodness, it's like, oh God, have mercy. And I've learned, I didn't say, I shouldn't say I've learned, I'm learning is what I mean to say. I'm learning to worship him in spirit And in truth, I worship him through the revelation of the cross. I don't worship him with my own energy and strength to receive something or to feel something or to enjoy something. I worship him in the Spirit as he's showing me what happened at the cross. And I worship him in truth. And it's just different. It's very, very different than what I used to do. But there's a depth and a solemn, I don't even know the word for it. It's like almost a fear of the Lord is there, but not I'm not afraid. It's like I don't want to say something unless he says it. You know, I don't want to just try to use my mouth to say, "Oh God, you're great, you're wonderful, you're awesome, amen, hallelujah." I don't want to do it because I know that my mouth is a corrupt mouth. And I only want to say what I hear the Spirit saying when I worship him. So when I in his presence, thank you that you conquered death. Thank you that you crucified my life. Thank you that you've given me this life of Jesus Christ. And man, the worship is in spirit. It is in truth. It is not Jeff worshiping God. Though I'm glad he did that because it made him find out some things, praise God, about himself. But God doesn't want our worship, Adamic worship. God wants worship that is true, and God wants worship that is of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. It's only worship accepted in heaven. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. I wasn't going to talk about that today, but that's God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to, if the Lord is willing, to continue on as I've been for years, but sometimes I focus real intently into the difference of the two covenants. That's what I believe that God has called me especially to preach. The two covenants, the revealing of the new through understanding of the old. And it's simply the gospel. It's the cross. That's all we need to preach ever. But the cross is the crossroads. It is moving from the old into the new. Hebrews teaches us that Jesus would not be a priest if he was in the earth. The earth has its priest. The world has its priest. Jesus is a heavenly priest. You know, Jesus wasn't even born in the family of the priesthood. He wasn't even of Aaron. He was of the tribe of Judah. You know, they weren't priests. So Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, it says. And everybody's trying to figure out who Melchizedek is. All it's saying is that he's a priest because he has everlasting life. He's got everlasting life. That's his order of priesthood. It's not earthly. It's not worldly. And then he says that on purpose. He's not going into great details about that, but he's trying to help us see something. The promises of the new covenant have nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to do with this world. It has to do with the true kingdom of God. And he says that all the things in the old covenant were shadows. They were lessons. And as I was meditating on that this morning, I remember a preacher, I think he's still around, Rockman Bible College, those guys in Pensacola and Milton, they stand on the corners with their Bibles and some signs. A lot of those are from Rockman. But I remember watching him on TV years ago, and he would do illustrations as he preached. Yeah. And he would draw pictures as he preached, and it really helped people to focus in. And I saw the Lord today as I was meditating on the scripture. I saw him drawing pictures with the old covenant. That's what he was doing. He's an artist, and he was using everything as a picture. A shadow is a word he used. It is a picture. Everything, not just the natural promise being a picture of the spiritual promise, but even the process of giving the law to man and every man failing to keep it. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's a fact. We are all liars. I would not, oh my goodness, when I came to God and became religious and thought I, you know, was, well, I believe I was born again, but I thought my born again was quit drinking, quit smoking, quit cussing, all that kind of stuff. Man, if you called me a liar, I would have been ready to fight almost, you know, because, man, I was dead determined to tell the truth about everything. I wasn't a liar. And I found out we're all liars. We just don't know it most of the time. Sometimes we do know it, and we see when somebody else is lying, you liar. Every time we don't bear witness of God perfectly, we're a liar. If we mislead in any way, especially us preachers and teachers, if we do not represent God 100% accurately, we're a liar. Every man is a liar. That's why Jesus only said what he heard the Father say. He never said what he thought. He only said what he heard the Father say. Man, that's my goal. I don't know how. I can't do it. I can't accomplish it. But I'm believing God, just like in my worship, to only say what I'm hearing him say rather than what I am thinking or what I'm trying to learn. Things have become so different as I begin to understand the new covenant. This is just God. I'm going to have to go with it. But even in studying, even in learning doctrines and scriptures, now I don't do it unless I'm hearing and listening. I can't do it, as a matter of fact. If I try to go study the Bible and figure something out, there's nothing there. I can't do it anymore. I used to study and study and study hours and hours and break everything down. And God used it. God used it. Just like the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus. He memorized the first five books of the Bible. Yet he didn't understand it. He didn't understand the purpose of the Old Covenant. God had to show that to him later. But he memorized. He learned all those things. So when God did open his eyes, He had all those scriptures there. He had all those things in his natural mind that he could remember as God began to show him what they actually mean. And so even in studying now, I don't go study to figure something out or develop my opinion on it. I only look at what I hear him saying. And I do read the scriptures, but I read them slowly. And I just listen. If I'm not hearing anything, friend, I just close it up, you know. I need to hear what he's saying. Sometimes I'll read three verses and just sit there for 2 hours because I'm listening, you know. Amen. I want to hear what he says. It's not, and we got to be careful, you know. Any of us can think we're hearing from God. I've learned the secret to hearing from God. I know what it is. Everything God talks about is the cross. It is always revealing the work of the cross and what Jesus is and who he is. It's revealing death and burial and resurrection. It's pointing us to the heavenly kingdom of God and turning us away from the things of the world, the things of the earth. It's always the same thing. And used to, I'd just, you know, go to all different subjects and try to figure this subject out, figure that subject out, figure this subject out, figure that one out. And that's good. I learned a lot of things. For man, it's good. But it's not necessarily, most of the time, it's not necessarily the Spirit. The Spirit's there. I remember God kept telling me years ago. He said, one of the problems is, especially with prophecy, is that the Spirit of God speaks to a man's spirit. But a man's soul is the interpreter because the man's natural self does not speak spirit. I'm just simplify this. It's like Chinese, you know, to the natural man that doesn't know Chinese. It's the man, the natural man does not speak spirit. And so his soul interprets what God is saying to his spirit. So by the time it comes out of his mouth, it is affected by the man's soul. And this is what the Bible says must be renewed. Amen. Soon the flesh will be no more. Jesus has crucified the natural man, but the part of a man that will last forever is the soul of a man. It is his intellect, his understanding, his mind, his will. That part of our being is an eternal part. It's the soul of a man. And we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's talking about the soul. Because the soul has much darkness in it. In this world, the soul is where the darkness is. It's where we cannot see and understand the truth. It's the part of us that runs our natural mind, or at least it may not run the desires of the natural mind, the natural man, but it's the reasoner and within our natural mind. And when we hear from God, even if it's prophetic, I remember many, many times praying over people and seeing pictures. And used to, I would try to guess what they mean. And, oh, man, God really got on to me about that. Do not try to guess what God is saying. You know, if you see something in the spirit, you need to listen to him, and in fear and in trembling, you need to very carefully deliver what God is showing you. Otherwise, you're tainting it. And that's a dangerous thing to do. The Bible said we should not all be teachers, for we will be judged with the harsher judgment. We shall suffer the greater condemnation. It's very dangerous. We have no idea how flippant mankind is with God and with his word. It's a very scary thing when we really begin to see it. There's some serious consequences that we can't even see yet that are coming whenever we try to stand in God's place and represent him and say what he's saying and taint it with our own understanding. And so we've got to be careful. God began to show me, said, listen, when I speak to you, I'm speaking to your spirit, but you interpret it through your soul. So you have to be very careful not to taint what I'm saying. You know, Paul, when he preached, he said he did so in fear and in trembling. Why did he do that? With all of his revelation, he'd been to the third heaven. That's exactly why. Amen. With all of his revelation, it didn't make him It didn't make him more at ease when he represented God. It made him more fearful. And not a bad fear, a good, holy fear and trembling of God. When he would minister the word of God, it terrified him. That's what the word for fear is in the Bible, phobos. It means to be terrified. It doesn't mean to have respect. People want to change everything because they just can't, they can't believe the truth. The Bible said, walking in the fear of the Lord, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. It's the word phobos, which means terror. Look it up. There's no five definitions, and you get to pick which one you want. Amen. It means terror. Praise God. So when Paul would preach the gospel, there was a holy terror on the inside of him. He did not want to misrepresent God. He did it in fear and trembling. And he had been to the third heaven. He knew something. He knew something about speaking in God, on God's behalf. So we've got to be careful about that, friend, especially if you're a new believer. I want to, or at least you've been saved, I don't know, under 10 years or so. You know, I want to caution you in Jesus' name. You know, be careful, no matter how long you've been saved, but especially a young believer, be careful that you don't just run out and start representing God. You know, be careful how you do it and what you say, and try, by the grace of God, look to him to only say what he's saying and don't add to it. Yeah, don't go get your idea and go try to tell everybody what you think is right. It's very dangerous to do that. Why? Because you are a mouth that's representing God himself. The Bible said if you preach, do it in the life of God. Do it in Jesus's name. Do it as if the Lord himself is speaking, because he is. So you have to be very careful. Amen. Praise the Lord. But so whenever I study the word now, it's different. Yeah? And this isn't about me. I'm just talking about what the new covenant and the old covenant, that what happens as you begin to transition into the new one from the old one. I would say it's not possible for any man to set out to do it. One of the hardest things, and still today, it's every now and then, it kind of throws me for a loop, is transitioning from making my own effort to be righteous into believing and confessing what he accomplished until I see the righteousness of Jesus Christ manifesting. These things are radically different. And I've, since 1995, God told me about entering into his rest and ceasing to labor. And I tried to do that from 95 to at least, I don't know, 2015, or I don't know, a long time I tried to do that, and it really threw me for a loop. How do I stop trying to be righteous? How do I stop putting forth my own effort? How do I stop living my own life? How do I do that, you know? And the longer it's went on, the more I began to understand it. The way that God did it with me is he showed me what happened at the cross. It's the way he'll do it with everybody. You have to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And the more you understand the cross, the more you understand what he did, the more every time you face a situation, even if it's your own sin, your own flesh, instead of trying to do better for God, you immediately bring your thoughts captive to what he accomplished, and you confess what he accomplished, and you believe what he accomplished no matter what you are seeing. It's amazing to me. I give an example of something most guys struggle with, lust. I never got addicted to pornography. I guess I've always been addicted to that, just not realizing it, even when I didn't look at it. Because if it's on the inside, it's there. A lot of times it would be asleep, but many times, you know, I'd go months and then all of a sudden be tempted to look at something or to fantasize about something. And I remember feeling bad and trying to overcome that and trying to rebuke that. I bind that in the name of Jesus. I cast that out. Satan, I rebuke you. And what's amazing is in the beginning of my Christianity, when I shouted and did all that, it seemed to work. But as time progressed, the more I tried to fight it, I couldn't fight it. It's like I would fight it to go away for a few seconds, then it would be back. And an hour later, I didn't realize it came back. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it again. I'm thinking it again. And I was like, why doesn't this work? I'm rebuking, I'm casting out, I'm reading the Bible, I'm quoting scriptures, and it's not working. And the Lord began to show me, I'm trying to produce Jesus. I can't produce Jesus. I can't be Jesus with my own effort and my own strength. I can't overcome lust. He already crucified it on the cross. I have to believe what he did. And it took years of understanding that to bring my thought captive when lust comes, when something like that happens, to stop trying to conquer it and bring my thoughts captive to what he did. And I began to confess, thank you, Lord. Without effort, without struggling, without screaming and hollering, I began to confess, thank you, Lord, that you have crucified this. I belong to you. Therefore, I have already crucified. The first one I was confessing that years ago, I was trying to convince myself. That's what we all do. When we first start believing the truth, then we try to confess it. We're really trying to convince our own soul, because our own soul is not 100% convinced of the truth yet. There's still questions we have. There's still things that don't make perfect sense, especially because people aren't really preaching it. And so there's things that don't make perfect sense, and the soul is not 100% convinced. So you start confessing, and it doesn't really work at first, not fully, because you're not yet really convinced of it yourself. You're trying to convince yourself, and you confess it, and it doesn't seem to work. And then you're like, well, maybe it's not true. You know, your natural man starts wavering, and you get double-minded. So one day you're saying, thank you, Lord, you've crucified this. Thank you, you've conquered this. And the next day, you're right back to trying to overcome. Okay, I'm just going to fast until it goes away. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. And if God ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it. I even said that a couple times. I was like, oh my God, look at that. Well, if God ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it. Well, the reason God wasn't doing it is because God already did it. And the reason it wasn't manifesting is because of my own doubt, my own double-mindedness. But to testify of the truth, and it's been a long time since lust has had any kind of hold on me at all. I don't look at anything anymore at all, by the grace of God. But I don't do it through my effort. For 20-something, I tried with effort. I'd make it a while, but there would always be the temptation. I may glance at a billboard, or I may, you know, fantasize about something. It's just absolutely not there. I'm not saying it can't come back, but when it does try to creep in any way, shape, or form, often if I start watching TV, you know, there'll be something that tries to creep in. And, I mean, you can't purposely expose yourself to garbage and expect nothing to come in. It's going to come in. But when something comes in accidentally, so to speak, then, and I start to feel even a little something, I don't try to conquer it. I say, thank you, Lord. You have crucified the flesh with all of its lust and all of its affections. Praise God. And I see it. It just doesn't have any kind of hold on me at all. I don't just do it and say, well, I'm under grace. Praise the Lord. He forgives me. No, it's just gone. It's just not there. It's never been like that ever. And I didn't just get old and lose my testosterone. Praise God. It's the cross. Amen. It's real. What he did is real. And we have to learn to transition from the old into the new. Transition from he who does these things will live, he who obeys God and follows his commands and follows his rules will live, into believing what he accomplished, why he had to accomplish it, confessing what he's done until we see the power of it manifesting. Praise God. Man, I want to continue, but I just got to a job that I have to get in here and get to work. And praise the Lord for the King. Thank you, Jesus. But God bless you today. I pray the Holy Ghost will continue to help you to transition, to believe and understand first. That's first and foremost, believing, understanding the difference between the two covenants, and then the Holy Spirit helping you, leading you and guiding you how to transition into the new one, out of the old one, how to believe in better promises. It's not about this world. It's not about what you can get here. Follow Jesus. Look at Jesus. He's the new covenant. Everybody wants to be a son of Abraham. Why? They want the cattle. They want the houses. They want the land. Jesus didn't want any of that. Yeah. You don't hear any prosperity preacher talking about, I want to be like Jesus. They're talking about, I'm the child of Abraham, child of Abraham, because they don't understand the shadows are a picture of something heavenly. And that's why Jesus rejected the shadow. He doesn't want anything here. That's over. It's done. God's not trying to give us the things of the world to teach us a lesson, which he did. He drew a picture and showed us that no one will be able to do it. And therefore, the cankerworm eats it all. Even those that are 99% obedient. One king was obedient in everything, but he did one thing wrong and he got diseased feet, or he did one thing, he allowed the enemy to come and see his stuff, and it caused all of Israel to lose wars. I mean, just unbelievable things. Moses was the meekest man in the earth. Nobody was ever as meek as Moses, ever. The meekest man in the whole earth. And he missed the promised land because he wasn't meek enough. Amen. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. He lost his temper. He wasn't meek enough, even though he was the meekest of all human beings. It's amazing. Nobody can do it. Nobody can get the promised land by their effort. Nobody can get the promised land through being good and obeying God. It doesn't work because none of us are righteous. Not one. None of us do good. Not one. So as God gave us the law, he was drawing pictures, even though he was using earthly promises to show us heavenly things. He was using those earthly promises to reveal our iniquity and why we couldn't have what's here and why what is here must be burned up and everything must be recreated and made new with a new Adam, with a new life. Amen. That's enough for today. But God bless you in the marvelous name of Jesus today as the Lord continues to lead you into all the truth. Amen.